There is a scripture that says that the servant of the Lord must be a partaker of the fruit first. And I have found that to be true. I have found that I pass through trials and tests and battles and problems and cares in order for the Lord to give me a message. It happens over and over. So I have been in a battle. And sometimes we stand before you and we give what we feel the Lord has given to us and we're preaching to ourselves. And this morning I think I'm preaching to myself. And it's on a subject that is extremely important to us all. The title of our message this morning is Rest and Peace. And our beginning scripture is going to be in Genesis, the second chapter, in verses 1 through 4, through maybe 3, I think. And it says, "The heavens and the earth were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all of his work." Now, we're not having a message this morning concerning this seventh day, nor anything concerning the Sabbath day. That's a message within itself. That's a lesson within itself. That's a Bible study, if you will. But what we want to bring before us this morning is the fact that God rested. That he knew that you and I would need rest. Now, if he would have put in here, or not put in here, or not rested, had on that last day, he had said, "I think I will work a little bit longer. I think I'll just add a little more perfection." But you know, on the sixth day, it was perfect. He was pleased with what he did. He looked at it and said it was very good, all that he had created. So on the seventh day, he rested. So this message is going to be about peace and rest. It's ordained of God, and it is for the people of God. There is a scripture which we will no doubt repeat more than once. There is a rest to the people of God. Peace and rest are sort of synonymous. Their definitions can be very close. To have rest is to be at peace, the definition is, or free from anxiety and worry. Anybody need that today? But there are two definitions that are very similar for peace and rest. For rest, it said it was freedom from disturbance or disquiet. It was peace. So there it's synonym. Tranquility. And then as I looked up the word peace, it said it was a state of mental and physical quiet and tranquility, calm, repose. Anyone need that today? I need it. So I would say that these two words are very close cousins, if you will. I believe that they can be interchanged in the scriptures. So as I read these definitions, I would like to ask you, did it appeal to you? Oftentimes we get so caught up with the cares of life and all of the pressures of life and the busyness of life and life itself, day in and day out, that we fail to think about what's ordained for us in this life. In our little Sunday school lesson, we've been repeating it over and over for the sake of, one, to carry it, the children to get it in their hearts. And so we're teaching them that we just go a step farther each time, trying to include something else. And so we're in that place where Jesus ascended back up to heaven, is at the right hand of the Father. And then we ask questions about it, and that the children, he says, suffer the little children to come unto me. And how that he wants all of us to be with him in heaven. And he's made a way for us to get there. So, one of the questions was, what is Jesus doing today in heaven? And there was an answer. He's praying for us. Now, he's very interested in you and me having what he has for us. And what he has is in this life. In all of the things that you and I face in life, that we have peace, that we have rest in the midst of it all, in the very middle of it. So we say that God introduced rest from his labors. And that is another definition for rest, is to cease from working and to cease. One definition said to cease from effort or activity for a period of time. And so in the beginning of this, we do want to speak about the physical part of rest that God has ordained. There is a scripture in Genesis 5 and 29 that I want to give to you this morning, because I really had not ever really thought of it in terms of rest. But it says, speaking of Noah, that his name meant rest. His name meant rest. And it said he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands." That would be our physical, possibly, but we could relate it to the spiritual. There are two areas that man need rest and peace. And of course, I've just said it was physical and it is spiritual. The physical part, God ordained rest for all of mankind, a physical rest. And I think that it is good for us to be reminded of this. We are living in such a hectic world. We are living in a time that people are really sleeping less than they probably ever have before. The medical profession, they say that you and I need 8 hours of sleep. I can't tell you the last time I had 8 hours of sleep. I had 7 hours of sleep the other night, and it's the first time in months. But do you know the Lord even considered all of the earth and how the earth needed rest? The plant world, the animal world and the human world all needed rest. He could have created everything to have been day all of the time, and that they never needed sleep. We could just work and work and work and work and work and work and never quit working. He could have done that. But he knew we needed rest. And so he himself rested, and he ordained that man have rest by creating day and night. Well, you say, well, you know, in the animal world, there are animals that are nocturnal, that they are up in the night. But do they stay up all day too? No, they have their rest in the day, and they're up at night. So God has it all in balance, but he is also telling you and me, it is wise for us to take time to rest our physical bodies. It helps us in our mind. It helps us in our emotions. It helps us physically. It helps us health-wise. There's another scripture that says in Psalms 104 and 23, it says, man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until evening. Have you ever read that scripture before? Well, that's not saying you can't work at night and sleep in the daytime. That's not what that's saying. But it's saying there's a time for a break. There's a time to rest your body and your mind. And properly resting is part of even your spiritual health. I have said before that when we look at where Jesus was tempted, at what conditions was he experiencing when the devil came to tempt him? Number one, he was hungry. Number two, he was tired. And so you and I should be very awake and alert if we find ourselves hungry or tired. At the end of a day, when you've given your energies to your work, in the evening, as this says, you're tired. Be alert. That's when the enemy might want to come and frustrate you or tempt you or cause you to allow your mind that is needing rest and refreshment to wander around at other things. There's another scripture in Genesis 49 and 15, and it's just a little portion of a scripture there, and it says, he saw that rest was good. So I put down here, what was it like before electricity? And there's a little saying that we hear, and it says, man's work is from sunup to sundown, but a woman's work is never done, something like that.
From sun to sun.
But a woman's work is never done. The truth of the matter is, for me, I could work all night and all day. I may crash the next time, but I have something driving me. And the Lord is wanting those places in our life to be tempered and to understand the wisdom of what he has ordained for man. And he's ordained for you and me to rest physically. There is another scripture in Jeremiah 31 and 25 and 26, and it says, I have satiated. You know what that word means? Satisfied. I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul, and my sleep was sweet. The Lord is desiring to refresh you, mind, body, soul, and spirit, with rest. So with our body being the temple of the Holy Spirit, you and I do have a responsibility to take care of it. because God has created every part of your body, every cell, every blood vessel, every organ of your body, and all of your body is needing rest. The medical profession even says that lack of rest can contribute to health problems, even such as cancer. That the weariness of your body doesn't allow the organs to be healthy and rested. I'm just giving you a one side of it. There is a whole nother side for all of us. But we do need sweet rest. If anyone goes without sleep for an extended period of time, it impairs their judgment and their mental capacities. I heard or read about the military, and it seemed as though it was in the Marines. Maybe it was those that were training as a SEAL. Maybe it was that. I'm not sure. I can't remember for sure. But the training for those that are specialized in the military is extreme. At one point, they go through a period of time that is the hardest, and it really eliminates a lot of people. A lot of candidates that are trying to be whatever that specialized field, most of them, a large percentage is removed simply because they cannot endure. But what they try to do is to push them to the extreme limits of their ability to stay awake for, I believe, 6 days at a time with no sleep at all and still function. It is hard for me to believe that they had good judgment. We have heard that in the medical profession, when doctors are training to be doctors, that they also are pushed to work long hours without sleep. That frightens me because they are taking people's lives in their hands when they may be too tired to really make a judgment. So, concluding that our physical side is very important, that we have the rest that God has ordained. And like I said, you may be nocturnal. You may work at night and sleep in the day, but God wants us to rest our bodies and to take care of our bodies. So I'm going to leave that part now and just sort of trust that that is some good advice, little counsel there, to take care of your body, to take care of the time that you spend resting and not overextend your strength. But the most important part, well, I cannot say that it's totally the most important part, but it is the vital part. It is the spiritual rest. But I will say this, that the spiritual rest does and can affect our physical body, our physical health, because our spiritual rest has to do so much with our soul, has to do with our mind, our emotions. It affects us in so many different ways, the kinds of battles that we fight, the kinds of trials and tests that we go through, and you will not make heaven without it. It's ordained also that we be tested and a tried people. The scripture says that. So we need to expect that there will be trials and tests come our way. It will be how we handle those things. And God has ordained a method to help you and me that man can't help you. We're living in a world right now where people are trying so hard to have the proper rest. And they cannot sleep. They're under so much anxiety and pressures of life and all the cares of life. And let me tell you that the people out there, it doesn't matter whether they're lost in sin, they have their problems. It doesn't matter. They have the same pressures of life. But God has ordained a rest to the people of God. He said, there is a rest for the people of God. In Daniel, the 7th chapter, in verse 25, I'm going to give you part of that. And to me, it just simply gives a little picture of what the saints are faced with. It says, he shall speak, speaking, it's referring to, or trying to refer to, the works of the devil, Satan himself. And it says, he shall speak great things against the Most High. What does that mean? The Most High is God himself. There is every kind of opposition against belief in the true God that's to try to get people to turn from believing in God. The idols that were spoken of, other religions, even non-religious people that don't believe in God at all. Many things are being said against God to try to hinder you, to try to hinder me in our faith in God. But then it said, he shall also shall wear out the saints of the Most High God. There's a contest. You and I are not going to slip into heaven. You've heard it said that this way is not on flowery beds of ease. You want to make heaven? We've given you the way spoken of last Sunday. It's a narrow way, the straight way. It is not an easy way. It is only made possible through his rest, his peace, his help, his grace, his power. I can't make it without him. Yes. I won't make it one day without God helping me to live godly. It's not in me. It was spoken of in the prayer. It is not in man to direct his own steps. I don't know how to direct my steps. But when I put my hand in God's hand, he is able to help me to fight the battles of life, to recognize and discern where the opposer is, where he is trying to wear me out. The enemy of your soul will try to wear you out physically, and he will try to wear you out spiritually. And he takes it a step farther. He tries to wear us out mentally. He tries to wear us out emotionally. He is an opposer of all that is good and right. All that comes from God, all of the power. Is this discouraging? It should not be discouraging. We are not ignorant of his devices. God wants us to understand our enemy. He wants us to be able to recognize when he is coming in as a flood, when he is an opposer of your life. God has given you and me his word and his promise, and he said, I will lift up a standard against him. You don't have any weapons other than the weapons of warfare that he gives you that are not carnal. They are mighty through God to pulling down of strongholds in your life and in the lives of those that you're praying for. Thank the Lord. In Psalms 103, in verses 2 through 4, this psalm says, Psalm of David, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities." He doesn't leave any of them unforgiven. When you and I repent of those things, when we confess our sins, he is faithful. He is just. He will forgive us, and as has been said, remember them no more. That gives us peace, doesn't it?
Yes.
When we know our sins are under the blood, I want to say this that Lauren said on Friday concerning Jeremy. When Jeremy finished, he didn't realize it, but he looked different. Lauren said it. He said he had a different look on his face. That's what the Lord does when he forgives us. And he takes away that burden of sin.
Yes.
Remember Pilgrim's Progress? And how that he had a pack on his, he had a load on his back. When you come to Jesus loaded down with sin, that's how it feels. And then as Pilgrim came to the place, came to the cross, and that pack fell off of his back into the abyss. He even said he likened it to a man that wore a hat and he still felt like he had the hat on. For a little while, we may not just feel the full freedom of our sins being under the blood. But as he went on, he felt that freedom. And as you and I go on, we'll have that peace. We'll have that rest. There is a rest to the people of God. So he forgiveth all of thine iniquities, and he healeth all thy diseases. And he redeemeth thy life from destruction. I want to tell you, many of us was on a road to destruction. I tremble to think where my life would have been had I not turned when I did. I can tell you what it would have been. We would have been divorced. That's a life of destruction. But he will redeem you and me. He'll buy back that place. He'll turn you off that course. He'll put you on a course of peace and rest. Thank the Lord. He crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Thank the Lord. So there is a rest to the people of God. And Christ is the one that gives us rest. And I put down here what he relieves us from. He relieves us from the terror and the torments of sin. Did you live in terror when you knew you were not ready to meet the Lord? There were times it was hard for me to go to sleep at night when I knew I was lost, when I knew if I died, I knew where I would end up. Had a dream one time. I can still see it, and it happened many, many, many years ago. Maybe 60 years ago. I still remember it. I've never liked swinging bridges ever, but I was on a swinging bridge. And I was out over a place that it was absolute black darkness. And every once in a while there would be a board that was missing. And in my dream, I fell through and I woke up. I was in a cold sweat. I knew it was a dream to warn me. You need to turn. You need to be saved. So it was the terrors, Lord, that Jesus relieves the terrors and the torments. He relieves you and me from the power of sin, and he relieves us from the bondages that we were in, and he relieves us from the dread of hell. You don't go around dreading where you're going when Jesus relieves and gives you rest and peace. Thank the Lord. It's wonderful to know the experience of the peace of God, and to experience the true quietness and the true peace and the true rest, and for the distresses and the troubles, and your conscience isn't burning against you all the time, and your heart and your mind, they're just at rest. Thank the Lord. There's another scripture in Philippians 4 and 7, and we're going to interchange rest and peace in some of these scriptures. And it says, and the peace of God, we could say, and the rest of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Another one is Matthew 11 and 28, and this one is such an important scripture to all of us, and our children should memorize it. We should keep it ever present in our minds, and it says, come, Jesus said, come unto me. I will give you rest. He also said that we would be in a world of tribulation. You remember we had a message on us being strangers and pilgrims, that we were in this world but not of this world. But we all know that this world is full of tribulation. You can't read a newspaper without understanding the turmoil and the distress of our world. You cannot hear the news without understanding where we are in this scope of time. You can't even go have a conversation with anyone. It's very soon, it comes up, you know, of the disasters and of the turmoil and of the dangers of the world and the violence of the world. You know, that's one reason we all are taught in the word of the Lord to pray that we may be able to live a quiet and a peaceful life, because that's what we're in the middle of. And the Lord wants to give you and me peace and rest in the very midst of all of this in the world. There's two scriptures in the Old Testament that says, Exodus 33 and 14. He says, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give you rest. That's where our rest will be, in the very fact that Jesus is walking with me and that I am walking with him. Isaiah 28 and 12. This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to work to rest. And this is the refreshing, just a little portion of that verse. He has refreshing for you and me, spiritually, all along the way. When we find ourselves in trouble, I'm thinking about how that the Lord knew you and me and all of man and what our personalities would be. He knew that we would need rest and peace, even with our personality traits. There are personalities of people that they want to fix everything. I confess, I'm one of them. I want to fix people's problems. And in the past, I really tried. But what does a fixer try to do? They try to take it into their own hands. That's a personality weakness. I had to find rest from my own personality weakness. And there are people that have personalities that they have more of a tendency to worry than other people. There are perfectionists, people that everything has to be perfect. And life is not perfect. And your problems are not always going to be perfect. And the troubles that come your way are going to upset those perfectionists. What it's going to do is cause you to turn to God more than ever before in your life for that peace and rest. That you can rest from your own labors. Then there are people that just have a tendency to ignore the problem. It'll go away if I ignore it. I take the things that come into my life, either the burdens of you or the burdens of my family, I take it so seriously in my heart. I want you to know I will not ignore my burden of you. But there are people that do that. They'll just sort of, well, if I just forget about this, it'll go away. It won't go away. We do have to take it to the Lord. And then there are people that have great imaginations. These are personalities, and the enemy tries to work with these weaknesses because our personalities are really weaknesses. And the scripture just gives us such answers to all of these kind of things. The person that is affected with imaginations, the scripture says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. You see how the Lord gives us answers to those things that are weaknesses to us? And he said, come unto me. You're laboring under this. I can give you rest. I can give you peace. You know, there are things that the word of the Lord says that we can have rest and peace. And one scripture that is so probably quoted the most, I found myself needing others to say it to me when I have said it to so many others. When the scripture says, casting all of your cares upon him, for he careth for you. You know, that can just become words without action. That's what I need to do, but I can't do it. I heard someone even say it. I cast all my cares upon the Lord. I cast this problem upon him, and I was free from it for a minute. And then it was back. What do? You do it again. You do it again. You do it again until the Lord comes and delivers you, and Satan is convinced that you're not giving in to his temptation. You do it again. In Job, the 22nd chapter, verse 21, a familiar scripture that has been quoted here a number of times, seems like, in the last few months. And it is, acquaint thyself with him. Get acquainted with him. Know his voice. Understand his ways. Find out what his will is for your life. He's not willing for you and me to break physically under a load of care. He wants us to rest physically. He wants us to rest spiritually. He wants us to have the peace of God. And I've got this scripture, Colossians 3 and 15. It says, let the peace rule your hearts. Don't let these troubles rule your hearts, affect your emotions. We are emotional people. We are going to have times we will shed tears over the problems that we are faced with. God is saying, give them to me. And once we can know that God has control, there is tranquility and peace and calmness. I can testify to it. The final scripture we have is Isaiah 26. Verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. How? Whose mind is stayed upon thee. Is that hard to do? It is. But the Lord is our helper. He said for you and me to labor to enter into this rest. So how do you labor and rest at the same time? If you look at the reference on that word labor, it says we are to be diligent to have this rest, to enter into this rest. And it also said that for you and me that enter into this rest, we have ceased from our own works. The one that wants to fix it all the time, you have to step back and say, I can't do it. It's in God's hands. The one that is a perfectionist has to step back and say, it's in God's hands. The one that has the tendency to worry and fret, how is this going to work out? Turn it loose. Cast it on the Lord. He'll take care of it. He's in control. Do you ever tell yourself that? God is in control. Say it again and again. He's in control. And he is in control. Thank the Lord. So remember, there is a rest to the people of God. He wants us to have healthy, rested bodies. But he wants our spirit and our soul, our mind, our emotions, those parts that make up me as a person, in my weaknesses, in my personality, he wants to be that peace and rest in there too. Pray for me.